Previously in A Fond Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, Craig started studying for his MA at Glasgow University, while Pamela started her new job in speech therapy at Gart Naval Hospital. Gloria told the Major that she had started divorce proceedings, naming him as co-respondent.
When David phoned, as usual, to fix a time to meet for the cinema, he surprised Pippa by saying,
"Would you mind going out for a meal instead? There's something I want to talk about."
Slightly puzzled, she replied, "Of course, that would be fine. But why can't you tell me over the phone? Then we could still go to the pictures."
"It's something we need to discuss. It might take time."
"Ooh, that all sounds very mysterious. Okay, why don't you just come here? Craig and Pam are out on their usual all-day Saturday date, along with all their other dates these days."
"Okay, that's fine."
What could this be about, she wondered. If circumstances were different, she might have hoped for a proposal. But as things stood, she couldn't imagine what to expect. "It's probably something to do with school," she convinced herself. Anyway, his tone had made it seem important, and she decided she ought to make an effort to help smooth the way. She put on her coat and made her way to the nearest shops. Her eyes lit up when she saw a queue at the fishmonger's, which she immediately joined. "You're in luck, Mrs. Stebbings," said the fishmonger when she finally reached the counter. "I've got 2 pieces of cod. Do you want them?" "Ask a silly question. Of course I want them, and anything else you might have." "No chance of that on a Saturday, I'm afraid," he said as he dropped the cod onto a sheet of newspaper and quickly wrapped it up. Raising his voice to the rest of the queue, he announced, "Sorry, ladies, that's it for today." Groans all round. Delighted, Tipper left the shop in search of fresh vegetables. Her luck held and she managed to get 6 potatoes and 4 carrots. "Thank God fruit and vegetables aren't rationed," she thought. Next, she went to the grocer she knew, who kept bees as a hobby. She purchased a small jar of his beautiful honey. Wine was difficult to come by with France occupied, but she managed to buy 2 bottles of beer. On reaching home, feeling pleased with her successes this morning, she started preparing for whatever was to come this evening. She peeled 3 of the potatoes, which she placed in a bowl of water, and julienned 2 carrots, which she placed in a pot with a little water and lots of honey. Her main aim was to spend as little time as possible in preparation, giving them more time to talk. She would fry the fish at the last minute. The conversation was all quite normal, but David could tell Pippa was slightly tense. She was talking more than usual, and her laughter seemed a little bit forced and too bright. He was sure it was because of his request to discuss something with her. As he placed his knife and fork together on his empty plate, he said,
"Oh, thank you. That was delicious. No one would think there's a war on when they taste your cooking.
She smiled with pride as she moved the plates aside and started pouring coffee. Now, what was it you wanted to talk about? She asked with her eyes fixed on the coffee cups.
How about taking our coffee into the armchairs in the lounge?
Good idea. Then we won't have to sit here looking at dirty plates.
I hope to God he's not going to suggest living together.
Her stomach was in a knot. She had felt quite brave about accepting their present relationship, seeing each other regularly for 2 years, especially now that Craig and Pam approved. And their outings were always followed with hugs and kisses when he saw her home. He had never tried to push his luck beyond that, knowing it might end their wonderful, warm and, yes, loving relationship. But how long could any man settle for that, she wondered. David waited till she had placed her coffee cup on the low table between them before speaking.
I think you'd better read this,
he said, pulling out a long envelope and handing it to her. Slowly, she took it from him and sat holding it between her hands, looking down at it in silence.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
Then he gave one of his reassuring smiles, and she responded with a subdued little laugh. Sorry, this isn't what I was expecting. This is addressed to you. Are you sure?
Of course.
She prized the envelope open, and her pursed lips slowly parted as she started reading its contents. Now it was his turn to feel anxious, while she kept reading without any comment. At last she looked up from the letter and simply said, "She's divorcing you." He nodded, and his face lit up.
Yes, and as you see, she's taking the blame.
Pippa looked bewildered. This means you'll need a lawyer. Will you use the one she names for you? Goodness knows how long that will take, to say nothing of what it'll cost.
She's using one of the lawyers we used to know, and the other one she's named to act for me is in the same practice. Well, I don't suppose that matters to them, but I think it'll be a bit embarrassing for me, discussing our marital problems with someone we used to know socially. You see, she assures me that adultery is the fastest way to divorce.
And I see she's named the co-respondent.
It's as I thought. The major she's been driving for 2 years.
I'm so sorry, David, she said as she moved over to him and sank onto the floor, hugging his legs. He stroked her hair.
Without you, I'd have taken it badly, but because of you, it hardly matters.
He tilted her chin up with one finger and, looking closely at her, said,
when this is all over, will you marry me?
She rose and sat beside him before speaking. David, you know that's not possible. Even with you divorced, we wouldn't be allowed to marry in our church.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. The war's changing a lot of things. Any priest who's been with the forces knows that. Army chaplains tend to be broader-minded. It's just a case of finding one who's back as a civilian priest. Our father, Cleary, is too old.
Wait a minute. The one in the church Irene and John go to was in the forces, and she told me he's back with only one arm. He must have been through a lot. Perhaps we should talk to him.
You realise you haven't said yes to my proposal? Now, is that because I didn't go down on one knee?
He was beaming at her and leant across to take her in his arms, but gently she restrained him. Don't let's get too excited too soon about this. Isn't it obvious I want this as much as you do? It's just that I'm afraid we might not get permission to marry in the church.
I know, you said that. Does that mean you won't marry me if we can't marry in the church, even when I no longer have a wife?
Put that way, it sounds silly.
That's because it is silly. Look, I don't know all the rules, but surely, since I'm the innocent party, it might be possible. Perhaps at a side altar. Get the contact number for Irene's priest and let's hear what he has to say about it.
I'll do it right now. David was delighted with her determination. He listened to her speaking to Irene in the hall. He'd been afraid of Pippa changing her mind if she didn't act immediately. The call was taking longer than he expected. Obviously, Irene was curious about her mother's question, and Pippa was having some difficulty with the truth. Then fate stepped in when she heard John shouting in the background, something she couldn't quite make out, but she heard the word coffee. David just heard Pippa saying, "Off you go. You mustn't keep your lord and master waiting."
Thank you.